And welcome to another edition of Pet Safety Crusader Radio. Quicker than a greyhound, chattier than a chihuahua, leaping over obstacles like a border collie and barking out loud my better pet parenting messages, I am Denise Fleck, the Pet Safety Crusader, and I'm delighted to help you make a difference in the life of an animal by coming to you each week via BBS Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and on the WPET All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. Today I'm going to chat with Kit DeRoche of Florida Yorkie Rescue and learn a little bit about why she has given so much of her heart to our tiniest of canine friends. I also want to be sure to give a shout out to military dogs and their handlers this Memorial Day weekend. And later in the show, you're going to get to hear from a woman who not only helped animals during Katrina, but founded a nonprofit to help others do the same. So, no matter how much you already rock at taking care of your furry family members, there is always more to learn. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing, but stay tuned to this episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to listen and learn how to become the person your dog or cat knows you can be. Also, pick up that phone and give us a call sometime with any questions you have on the topics we're discussing. Call-ins are always welcomed at toll-free 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada, 888-627-6008, or directly at 323-744-4831. If there's something you'd like Pet Safety Crusader to bring to another show, email me at PetSafetyCrusader@gmail.com, and we'll see what we can do about chatting it up or getting a guest that's an expert on the topic to fill you in and get you in the know regarding that. Now, I know I'm always talking about us humans being the person our dog or cat, you know, knows we are and expects us to be, but I want you to know that I am all about all the animals, not just dogs and cats. So, coming across my email this week, I have to bring something to your attention that was simply paw-mazing. Actually, I should say claw-mazing. A team of vets in Brazil came up with a different use for 3D printing. They created a whole new shell for a tortoise that was injured in a fire. They're called the Animal Avengers, and they're from Sao Paulo. It's four veterinarians, a dental surgeon, and a 3D printer, and they've created a lot of different prosthetics for various injured animals, which has really given them a new lease on life. How amazing is that? Some of the things they've done is created a titanium beak for a toucan, and then a parrot, they reinforced his plastic beak so it's now strong enough where he can actually crack nuts and be a parrot. In this latest attempt, they've helped Freddy. Freddy the tortoise was caught in a brush fire last year, and he got 85% of his shell damaged in that fire. Actually, Freddy is a female, but they named him Freddy after Freddy Krueger because of how badly, you know, she looked after the fire. But they've created this amazing new shell. It's actually lighter weight than the real thing. So who knows, maybe that'll give Freddy an edge on those turtle races. But they've painted up the shell, made it look really natural. And, you know, Freddy can go now about living the many more decades of life she has to come. So I just think that's amazing when I'm not much of a techie myself, but when technology really does something to help people or help the animals, it's just so awesome in my eyes. Something else I caught in the news this week was no more hot car deaths involving pets, hopefully, in California. That's the message that three California lawmakers are bringing to the state assembly this week with the introduction of Bill 797, or what is called the Right to Rescue Act. What this proposed bill will do will allow passersby, when you're going shopping at the grocery store out here or in a drugstore or in a parking lot at a movie theater or whatever it happens to be, if you see a pet locked in a car, passersbys will be able to smash car windows to rescue pets trapped inside. Up until this point, that is not something us humans can do without suffering the effects of, you know, getting arrested for damaging property. The three assembly members who drafted the bill, their names are Lingling Chang, Kristen Olson, and Mark Steinnorth, actually locked themselves inside a car for 21 minutes. I guess that was as long as they could bear it, while the outside temperature was 89 degrees. And 89 degrees isn't as hot as it actually gets here in Southern California. It can get a whole heap of a lot hotter. And remember, our pets generally have a temperature of about 101 degrees Fahrenheit on average. And when they start panting and they're locked in a car, they pant 102, 103. And even if you have the windows rolled down, that doesn't help. The sun is still beating down on that windshield and on that back windshield. And most of the time when we are parked, we park on either concrete or asphalt. And the heat that, you know, embeds in that concrete and asphalt starts radiating up through the metal in the car and gets it very hot, very quick, and in a very deadly position. During this time that these three assembly people were in the car, it rose to over 108 degrees. So that is, you know, definitely uncomfortable. And in tests that have been done in the past, cars have gotten to 134, 155 degrees. It's crazy to think about leaving our furry kids in a situation like this where they can't, you know, pop the door lock and get out for help. So it's great that this bill is in the news and it's been proposed. However, can you believe it's not only received praise, but it has received some skepticism from California residents. Some people think, you know, some of us humans might just go overboard and start breaking windows when a pet really isn't in jeopardy. But my thinking has always been that if you can't take your pet with you on every stop, they're better off left at home in a temperate climate. And the latest thinking that I've seen that I share in my pet first aid classes is that if it's 70 degrees or warmer, you should not leave a pet in a car. And I know as Californians, Los Angelinos in particular, we freeze at 70 degrees. I mean, that's cold for us. But again, remember the pet's normal warmer body temperature. He's starting to pant, and panting is just kind of an evaporative cooling system for him to take that cooler outside air over his tongue and into his lungs. And if he can't, you know, cool himself off that way because the car is already getting too hot, the only other way he has to release heat through his body is through the pads of his feet where there are some sweat glands. Pets, you know, just don't sweat like we do, and there's not efficient ways for them to cool off. So I'm kind of saddened that some people are skeptical about this bill. What do you guys think? You know, please call in and let me know. Remember, toll free, 888-627-6008. Some other states have already led the way. Florida and Tennessee in particular, there may be some others out there, already do have laws in place that render legal protection to anybody who breaks a car window to save an animal. So that's good news, and I sure hope California follows suit with this because we need to be saving lives. Pets are part of the family after all. Now, since we're talking about this a little bit, heat stroke, sometimes pets just have heat distress when they're too hot, but obviously anything serious can be heat stroke. And the first thing we probably generally think of is brain damage, which can lead to permanent brain damage and death for our pets. But the other thing the intense heat also brings about for our animals is it basically cooks their gastrointestinal system. I'm talking the kidney, the liver, and the colon. So sometimes the ill effects of heat stroke don't even show up for 24 hours. So your red flag, in my opinion, is 104 degrees Fahrenheit. When you take your pet's temperature, and I will say the best place is under the tail, using a digital thermometer, we generally want to see their temperature in the 100.4 to 102.5 degree range. But at any time it's reached 104, even if you're able to start cooling him off, do seek veterinary care because damage may have already started and that pet needs professional, competent medical help. But anytime a pet's in too hot of a place, and it can be in your backyard if you don't have proper shade and water, make sure if your dog is in a nicely fenced yard that he has water that will last him all day long. Don't just get a huge water bowl because then it'll become a bird bath and you have bird feces in that water. But have, you know, a normal size bowl hooked up to a spigot in an area that's shady all day so that he can rehydrate. animals, like people, and like the planet Earth itself, are 3/4 water and need that fresh supply all day long. Also, notice the trees in your yard at different times of the year and different times of the day. As the sun turns, the shadow may be cast on the other side of the fence in your neighbor's yard, and your pet may not have shade to retreat to. Any outdoor cats generally can, you know, get on roofs and climb over walls and get under houses and find cooler places, but dogs are more confined, especially in their fences, for their safety, but make sure they have fresh water and shade all day long. And once you do start cooling your pet off, my tip is always to cool him off from the paws up. Remember, the paws are where they release heat, so let's put the cool back in. Get the paws, the pits, the groin, and the belly skin wet first. Not ice water. Ice will restrict blood vessels and actually prevent circulation. Room temperature, lukewarm water, whatever comes out of the hose. But if you're using the hose, let that run first, because especially as we get into warmer weather, what's coming out of the hose very often is too hot for our pets. So from the paws up, and never immerse them in water higher than the belly skin. If you actually take them up to the neck, you can make them hypothermic, getting them too cold too quickly. So just a few tips on that, but I'm glad to see animals are in the news and that we're doing things to help them. So let's take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to have Kit DeRoche of Florida Yorkie Rescue joining us to tell us the tale of Joey and invite us to take a look into Yorkie House. So stay tuned.
Hey, pet lovers. Have you had this problem? Did you ever lose your keys in your purse or in your pockets? Looking for a better way to carry your dog treats when walking your pet? Or, and this is a big one for me, looking for a better and safer way to carry your phone? Well, stop looking. The hip clip and pocket accessory is for you. Go to hipclips.com. I'm going to spell it for you. HIPKLIPS.com. HipClips.com. The best way to carry your everyday personals.
I am the Pet Safety Crusader, and although I have taught more than 10,000 humans animal life-saving skills, I know there are so many more dogs and cats who could benefit from their people learning better pet parenting. That's why I travel far and wide teaching you to keep your pets safe and help them live longer, happier, healthier lives. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing. But join me Thursdays at 1 p.m. on BBS Radio for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn, share, and become the bow, wow, wonderful person your pet knows you can be.
Hey, pet lovers. You can now contact a vet by video chat or text 24/7 worldwide. That's right, with Vets Plus More, a very important life-saving app for your pet, for your smartphone. Need to speak to a vet right now for an emergency or just a simple question? Then Vets Plus More is the answer. I'll spell it out for you. VETSPLUSMORE.com. Go to VetsPlusMore.com and speak to a vet for any medical questions or any simple questions for your furry best friend. This is the best thing you can do for your pet and for yourself. Do you travel with your pets? If you do, then take a vet with you. Just download Vets Plus More on your smartphone. VetsPlusMore.com.
Now that you're back, and I'm back, I am pleased to bark out loud and introduce to you Kit DeRoche of Florida Yorkie Rescue. Kit and I just talked yesterday for the first time, and I can tell already we're going to become fast friends. Florida Yorkie Rescue is the parent company of Yorkie House, a unique sanctuary for senior dogs. And I personally have such a soft spot for seniors, so I'm really, really, really anxious to hear all about Yorkie House. But Kit, first tell me about a special doggy named Joey or whatever else you have on your mind.
Well, Joey is a senior that was dumped, as many senior dogs are in South Florida, and I imagine in many other areas of the country. They're used for breeding. They've served their purpose. They get old. They start to require medical care. And there are so many heartless people out there that just find a street and, you know, let them loose and drive away. And Joey was brought to animal control, and he was held for 5 days in the hopes that if he did have an owner, they would come forward and reclaim him, which, of course, did not happen. And when we took him in, he was very ill. He has kidney stones. He has bladder stones. He was urinating blood. He had a huge thyroid tumor, which was diagnosed. They took some biopsy, and it's in his lungs now, and he has cancer. So he's not in any pain. He's been in the hospital for 3 days. He just did come home this afternoon, and he is the sweetest little boy, just has the most precious little face. And as long as he's not in pain, and as long as he wants to eat, and as long as he loves his belly rubs and his little tail wags, then we will keep him comfortable, and he will become a permanent foster here until it's time for him to go.
Oh, it sounds like he's gone through more than any one creature should in a lifetime. Paint a picture of him. What does he look like?
Well, he's got a little short, flat face, and he's got the leather ears. If you know anything about Yorkies, as they age, they start to lose hair on their ears and hair on their nose, and sometimes that can be an indication of a thyroid problem. There's videos and there are pictures of him on our Facebook page, as well as our Instagram account, and you can find them both under Florida Yorkie Rescue. But he's just, you know, they all tug at your heart, and the old ones especially. And there's just so many seniors that are being dumped in Florida, and no one will adopt them. So that is why, after 10 years of rescue, the board members at Florida Yorkie Rescue said, listen, what can we do? Because no one else is doing something to help these dogs. And so we are creating the first senior Yorkie sanctuary in the state of Florida. And we are just going to drive around to all of these animal controls, and we are going to let them know that when they get a senior Yorkie in, we will take it. Please do not euthanize.
Oh, that'll be just such a life-saving, heartfelt, you know, task you guys are undertaking. I can't even imagine. Now, are you still, you're looking to build this? Are you looking for property?
We're still raising funds. And, of course, that's, you know, sometimes difficult to, you know, the funds seem to come in more rapidly when people can see a tangible building. God has a plan. And I don't ask any questions. I'm just going with the flow, and it will happen when it's supposed to. But we're hoping to get it up and running within the year. And we're just going to be, you know, a safe place for these Yorkies who someone once bought them as puppies and loved them or not. And then, you know, we just think that they deserve so much more in their senior years than to be discarded in the streets.
Well, Kit, it's just so strange how we are a throwaway society in so many respects. And volunteering at a shelter, I see it myself, too. Sometimes it's senior people that do have senior pets, and they pass away without a plan, or they just assume their family's going to take them in. But for whatever reason, maybe the family has too many pets already or lives someplace.
Well, you know, a lot of times, the family, that's a good point, Denise, and a lot of times the family tells their parent, their mom or their dad, don't worry, we'll take the dog. And once that parent has died, the first phone call they make is to a rescue, and they say, can you take this dog? Because it's mom's dog, she just died, and we don't want it. And I think, my God, if your mother knew her dying wish was not, you know, honored. It's just so sad, but I'm so thrilled that we are here to take them. But, you know, without a facility, we can only take just so many.
Well, exactly. So, and Kit, maybe it's different in your part of the country, but usually when an owner turns in a pet, they don't even have to keep them for 5 days.
Oh, that is true. And if they call a rescue, they can just surrender them immediately. That's true. But seniors who have no one to leave their pets to really need to look into creating a pet trust. And there's a lot of information on yorkiehouse.org about pet trusts and how you can set up a pet trust for your dog so that after you pass, that precious companion has a place to go with some funds that will continue to care for their medical expenses. And a lot of people don't know that pet trusts exist, but they absolutely do, and it's something that every senior should look into.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be a senior. Something can happen to us at any age. And actually, I had a guest a few episodes ago from Hamilton Law and Mediation, and she talked about having that plan even outside your will, because sometimes if you're not dead yet, if something happens and you're incapacitated, they won't open that will to find out what, you know, your wishes are for your pet. So,
Excellent point, Denise. You're absolutely right. And I tell everyone, create a pet trust. Don't make it part of your will. Pass your pet trust to everyone you know, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Because if they find your body in an apartment and you've passed and there's a dog in the apartment, the first place that the police will call is animal control. So if you do not have a plan for your dog, or a neighbor comes over and says, hey, there's a pet trust in place, and I have the documentation, you'll never know where your pet will end up.
Well, and it's just about everything I preach. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. At every age, we need to be thinking about our furry kids and having a plan for them. I know we want to be here for their whole lives, but sometimes that doesn't happen.
You know, I had a heartbreaking day, and I'll share it with you and your listeners today, but I had a woman in her early 40s, and she used to do rescue. And she has a little Yorkie, a little Maltese, and a little Morkie, which is a mix of the two. And those three girls are her life. She has no family, and she's dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. And it's getting close now where she will no longer be with me. And so she contacted me and asked me if I would take her dogs. And today I met her at the park. And I took her dogs, and she just sobbed. And so, you know, it's not only dealing with dogs in rescue, but it's dealing with the owners as well that can be truly heartbreaking. And I just came home and really had about a five-minute boo-hoo. Feel so badly for her.
I'm sure you really, Kit, you are truly an angel to her and the animals. And you and I, we had a quick phone conversation last night, and we touched on this briefly, but a lot of people get into rescue because they don't want to deal with people. They just want to deal with the animals. But it's so important, you just case in point, how we have to be diplomatic to people, because the people are the ones that adopt and care for the animals, and, you know, they're the ones who have to advocate for them.
You're absolutely right, and I've met a lot of people who run rescues, and I'm not fans, because they have seen such horror, and they've lost their coping skills with the public, and they shut down, and you cannot make a change, and you cannot make a difference if you do not leave yourself open in your mind and in your heart with all human beings who have issues. Some people just don't give a crap. But some people do, and they have real-life problems. And so you just have to, you know, deal with everyone the best way you can. And I do meet owners that, you know, I wouldn't adopt a goldfish to them. Mm-hmm. But I still treat them with respect, because the bottom line is, I want to get that dog out of the situation that it currently is in. And a lot of times these people will call four or five rescues, and the only person who will get their dogs are the ones who treat them well.
So true. We all need to go through life with a little bit of a filter on before we speak. And remember, you know, what the end result is about exactly. Helping that pet.
Yes. Yes, it's so true. So I try really hard not to judge. Sometimes it's difficult, but I'll get the dog and then I go home and I'll say whatever I need to say under my breath. But I know I've saved another life. But there are so many. I would say there's more situations than not of people who just really have real-life problems, and it breaks their heart to surrender their dog. And so some of these people I keep in touch with, and I'll send photographs of their dog after they've surrendered it and help them ease into the realization that they are now non-pet owners. And it helps them heal, and we find great owners for the new pets that we have in our possession. And it's a win-win for everyone, but it's not easy, and a lot of rescues can't do it. So
no, and relinquishing is a form of going through grief in a way, really, because they've suffered a loss, even though the animal is still of this world. It's no longer in their life.
And no matter how badly a pet has been treated, it will still mourn the life of its owner.
It is, they're just such amazing creatures with that unconditional love. They really, really are. We can learn so much from our dogs and cats.
Yeah, it's true. So today I've had a very emotional day, and I don't know if this is a good day to have an interview or a bad day to have an interview, but this is what rescue is. Every day it's something new, and some days are really great, and other days will knock you to your knees, and you just don't want to speak to anyone. So I'm kind of in between those days today. But, you know, I do what I can do on a daily basis and hope that I've touched the lives I'm supposed to touch. And that's all I can do in this life. And that's all that anyone can do in their lives.
It certainly sounds like you are, Kit, and it's, you know, it may not be a perfect day for you personally, but I think it's a perfect day for our listening audience to really understand what it's about and what we need people to step up to and how they can help in different respects, whether they can volunteer, whether they can foster, whether they can collect blankets or give a donation. Maybe Yorkie House will have somebody listening that will have the perfect property, you know, for you guys to get going on, or some funds to donate. So heartfelt stories.
We want to build in Palm City, Florida, which is in Martin County. And, we have our eye on a few things, and, you know, we're just trying to do, you know, to raise money, and you know, I guess it'll happen when it's supposed to happen, but we're a whole group of very hard workers, and it's just not me. We have a huge board, and we have 50 volunteers, and we have transport angels that, you know, transport dogs all over the state of Florida. But, you know, it's very difficult to find foster families who will keep a dog for a week or two and then, you know, let it go, because it's heartbreaking. And we have a lot of board members who have become what we call foster failures. They'll foster a dog for a week or two, and then before you know it, they say, well, this one has to stay. So it's a very, very difficult job, but we are in desperate need of foster families who think that they can do something like that for us.
Well, and a lot of people say, I can't do that. I can't give up the pet, or my goodness, I'm going to become attached and he only has 6 more months on this planet. But think what you can do during those 6 months or the 1 month before you send him to his forever home. How amazing it can be that you're giving him that love, that comfort, that shelter over his head. It may be tough for us, but tough things create us and define who we are.
Yeah, Kit, and they're stepping stones to heaven.
Absolutely. Kit, remind us of your website.
Our primary parent company is FloridaYorkieRescue.org. And if you want to read up about Yorkie House, you can go to YorkieHouse.org, and you can read up all about our future sanctuary for the Yorkies.
Well, my pack and I have paws and fingers crossed that good things are going to come and this Yorkie House is going to be a reality before we know it. And you and I are even starting to cook something up that on my Southern U.S. Pet Safety Tour. I'm going to try to make it down your way.
We are really looking forward to that, because with a facility that has, you know, countless senior dogs, we really need to know first aid and CPR. I mean, that is a given. So we are really pumped up to meet you and to have that class.
Well, it'll be awesome to share life-saving animal care tips with all of you. So thanks for being here today. And listeners, don't touch that dial, phone line, internet connection. Just stay tuned, and we'll be back after this quick break.
Thanks, Denise.
Oh, thank you.
Finest Fetch Dog Treats. It's more than a treat. Go to finestfetch.com. Made with the best quality human-grade ingredients and made in the USA. There is nothing like it. Your best friend will just gobble them up. And it's like eating a home-cooked meal. The treats have an unbelievable recipe. Chicken biscuit with blue cheese, rosemary and thyme, tacos, peanut butter and jelly, bagel and lox, wow, plus more. My producer eats them, and his dog eats them too, and he said they are healthy and delicious. I'm not kidding. So you must go to finestfetch.com. I'll spell it for you, finestfetch.com. Your best friend will love you for it.
Being the one who makes a difference is what I am all about. I am the Pet Safety Crusader, and my superpower is helping people to help their pets. So I come to you via the airwaves, sharing the latest 411 on how you can help your pets live longer, happier lives by your side. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing, but join me Thursdays at 1 p.m. on BBS Radio for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn, share, and become that awesome person your pet knows you can be.
Mozzie Pants, adorable and functional dog clothing, offering pants and tops made from cotton or fleece. Walking pants and tops keep the outdoor grime outdoors, offering full coverage of legs and tummy. No more toweling off at the door or snow mats. Ditch the cone. Covers wounds and hot spots. The original pants give support for incontinence, marking, submissive peeing, and females in heat. Made in the USA by women. Order today at mozziepants.com. M-O-Z-Z-I-E pants.com. Or call 206-283-6570. Mozzie Pants.
It was so great hearing what Kit and the Florida Yorkie Rescue are up to. I'm positively looking forward to meeting her and other pet parents in Florida this fall, teaching them pet first aid and CPR. So please do always remember to check out my website to keep up to date on the events I'll be doing throughout the Southeast beginning September 15th, kicking off from the Pet Sitters International World Educational Conference in San Diego and making my way throughout the South, bringing pet first aid, pet disaster preparedness, and pet safety tips to all. Earlier in the show, we were talking cars, about not leaving pets in them. But since the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indy 500, a big deal in my family, will have its 100th running this weekend, I just wanted to throw out the mention of an article I had written for Dog Sport magazine a few years back about dogs and the 500 drivers who love them. It covers other topics like travel safety, which we will definitely cover in shows to come, I promise you that. But if you're interested in reading about some of the drivers and their dogs, go ahead and email me and I'll send you back a PDF of the article, petsafetycrusader@gmail.com. Now, it is Memorial Day weekend, or it is just about upon us. And that's a time to give thanks and pay our respects to the men, women, And yes, the dogs who have so selfishly given of their lives for us. There are so many organizations out there these days that finally are helping people and pets deal with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Some organizations that care for the pets of soldiers that have been deployed, because often that was another time when, you know, animals would end up in a shelter when their human got deployed to go overseas and they had nobody to care for them and they'd have to find a new forever home. There are other organizations out there that are working to bring home our military dogs. This is so wonderful because after, you know, being a best friend of a handler and getting through really deadly situations together, there were some times when animals were left behind. I don't know if any of you have ever read about Stubby the Pit Bull. He wasn't a trained military dog, but he did receive recognition during World War I. He actually, you know, could hear the munition fires, and he would run between the lines giving messages, and he really helped out the soldiers, even though he wasn't a trained military dog. And in World War II, we did have more trained canine handlers and dogs. But when Vietnam came, dogs who had faithfully served beside their handlers were left behind as property, just like they were pushing the helicopters off the aircraft carriers into the water after the war. Dogs were left behind. Accurate records weren't really kept back then, but approximately 4,000 dogs and 10,000 handlers served during Vietnam. Of those, 500 dogs and 260 soldiers died. But do the math, that leaves a whole lot others. Most of these dogs were given to the South Vietnamese Army, but the South Vietnamese Army didn't want the black labs. They considered them bad luck. So it was just, you know, a terrible travesty that we allowed to have happen. And I'm so thrilled to see that we're doing things now that are really honoring these pets. Some of you may know that I teach a high school animal care class, and every semester I show a 1999 documentary entitled War Dogs, America's Forgotten Heroes. And even though I've seen it, gosh, 10, 12 times now, I cannot get through it without a box of Kleenex to wipe my eyes. In the documentary, hearing from the soldiers, you know, seeing some recreated footage, the bond is just so apparent between man and dog. I highly encourage you to see this movie at some point in your life. I know with Kit, I was just talking about this. But sometimes we shield ourselves from things that are going to make us sad, especially if it has to do with animals. But I'm so against that, because if we don't know what the travesties, the injustices that are going on out there, then we aren't, you know, urged to make a difference. So I think it's important for us to, you know, shed a tear every now and then and, you know, see what is really going on. But from the time the Vietnam War ended, it took until 2013, actually about 2.5 years ago, I think it was at the end of 2013, for the dogs from that war to even get a memorial. One now stands in Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. But we just, you know, really neglected the animals that did so much. There are other groups out there now that I know are training shelter dogs to become best friends with discharged soldiers, whether they suffer from PTSD or, you know, just other ailments. There's nothing like those brown or black or blue or whatever warm, loving eyes of a dog or even a kitty cat that can look at you and help you know that things are going to be okay. So I hope everyone will do me a favor this holiday weekend. And I know you're going to be thinking of human relatives that have served in various wars. Some of you may even have sons or daughters or husbands or wives that, you know, are overseas right now serving. So give them, you know, a heartfelt thought or two, but also take a moment to express your gratitude to the two-legged and four-pawed animals who helped us, you know, even in times we weren't thinking about it. And let's just really always make sure we really can make a difference in their lives, because they have done so much for us. Animals are amazing. They can sniff out an enemy. They can sniff out a cancer on us. They can sniff out bombs or drugs. Their noses are incredible, and their hearts are just, you know, unconditional. So happy Memorial Day to everybody. And this crusader would now like to switch gears. And I have another kind of superhero standing in the wings, ready to join us as we wrap up Pet Disaster Preparedness Month. I know we've been talking about that all month long. And some of the things I've told you about are that the more prepared you are, it's really, you know, up to you to make an emergency become a life and death catastrophe or just a major inconvenience. If you're ready, if you have trained and you have the supplies at hand, if you have a positive mental attitude, and if you stay curious, just learning about things, you can handle, you know, any situation as it comes. So my guest coming up is Susan Keyes. Susan is the president of the Southern California Animal Response Team. Susan coordinated several disaster teams for the HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, and responded to the Lamar Dixon Exposition Center in Louisiana following both Hurricanes Katrina and Rita in 2005. So this lady has a lot of hands-on experience with situations that are difficult. In 2007, she coordinated the efforts of the organization she herself founded, the Southern California Animal Response Team. At that point in time, it was called the Surf City Animal Response Team, but it has become more inclusive and brought in members from other areas. And they provide funding and volunteer support services for several equestrian centers that were caught in those 2007 flames. Susan's also responded to several animal hoarding cases, which I'm sure can be heartbreaking. And on another note, she's the co-owner of Aussie Pet Mobile Surf City. Susan, it's nice having you with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
I'm delighted to have you. So tell my listeners a little bit about how SCART came about.
We actually started working on becoming a nonprofit in 2004. There was a core group of us, most of which were based out of Huntington Beach, but several of them were also part of the Responders for a National Organization that went and assisted animals after Hurricane Katrina and Rita. So it's actually a small core group that actually helped SoCal Animal Response Team actually become a nonprofit organization.
And becoming a nonprofit actually takes a bit of paperwork and doing, so it's amazing you did that. Now, I'm sure you were inspired by your response to Katrina. Do you have any special stories or a takeaway from it you'd like to share?
I think it's just reminding people to be prepared. You don't want to leave your animals behind. And have you made plans for where do you take your animals? How do you care for your animals? What do you do if your animal is at home and you're outside of the area and cannot return? Do you have friends or neighbors or family that can actually help get your pet out of your home and evacuate it?
So, so very important. Yes, always take your pets along with you. But, you know, there are times where, you know, first responders won't let us back up our street. So it's important to have a plan, maybe somebody else on your street that can evacuate your pets and check on them. Now, I know you don't always have an emergency to respond to, thank God. You know, we hope there isn't something always happening somewhere, although there is probably in, you know, every neck of the wood. But what does SCART do on a regular basis when you're not responding to emergencies?
We actually will go to different types of events and have a booth and help to educate people on disaster preparedness for their family and their pets. So we do a lot of booth events and fundraising.
Yeah, it seems every nonprofit needs to do that fundraising, right?
Well, the interesting thing with what we do is if there's a disaster, donations probably won't be as big of an issue as they are when there's no disaster.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Now, you recently acquired a trailer of some sort, correct?
Yes, it was actually courtesy of the Huntington Beach Women's Club, also Shoreline Dog Fanciers, and AKC Pet Reunite. So it was a wonderful donation.
And how is that going to help you guys?
Well, it gives us a lot of our supplies. Currently, all of our supplies are in a storage unit, which is not going to be accessible 24 hours a day, whereas our trailer, we can access it anytime.
Perfect. Now, I know another mission of yours is to train people to be prepared to respond to emergencies. Do you have any trainings coming up, or can you explain how they work?
Basically, what we try to do is teach an animal sheltering training class to give people the information that they need in the event that they have to help out in their own neighborhood, or they would like to become a volunteer for some other organization, whether it be national or maybe one that's local in their community. And that can be with the CERT program, it can be with a variety of different organizations. So our goal is educate them, have them ready. We all know in the event of an earthquake, you're going to help wherever you happen to be at the time of the earthquake. So the more knowledge you have, the better prepared you are.
Absolutely. And you don't just, I mean, I know a lot of instruction and teaching is lectures and demonstrations, but you have people participate, actually, you know, go through some shelter, mock sheltering exercises, correct?
Yes, we try to do those once a year if possible.
Yeah, because there's no better way to learn than to actually do.
Yes. Even setting up the equipment, you have to practice in order to remember how to set it up.
Well, that's it. Even the easy ups, which is such an important part, you know, of sheltering, having that, you know, that canopy over us and over the animals and putting those things up sometimes can be difficult.
Yes, definitely. They're not. They're all designed differently on how to open and close them. We've learned that through many years and many of easy ups that do not survive somebody opening and shutting them improperly.
Where can listeners learn more about SCART?
They can go to our website, which is www.scart.us.
Awesome. SCART.us. So, right. Susan, before I let you get the heck out of here today, what advice would you have for pet parents that are listening? What are the, you know, the takeaways that they should be prepared for to, you know, evacuate or hunker down at home with their pets?
Well, make sure you have a plan to get your pets out. Those with small animals or cats have to understand that the cat's going to go to the best place to hide, and you don't want it to be an area where you can't access it, which would be behind a cabinet, under a bed. I prefer to keep those areas blocked so I don't have to worry about my cats going behind there. I also have pillowcases under my bed. It'll be easier to get my cats out the window with a pillowcase as opposed to attempting to put them into a carrier and then lowering it from a second floor.
Mm-hmm. Such good stuff to know, because, you know, pets aren't always cooperative.
Especially cats.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for being here today and wrapping up our Pet Disaster Preparedness Month. I hope it'll be ever present on people's minds and they'll start paying more attention and being ready for their pets' sake.
Well, thank you and congratulations on your new show.
Thank you so much. So everybody out there, we have spent, you know, our first three episodes of Pet Safety Crusader Radio touching on pet disaster preparedness. And I hope you all feel a little more equipped to handle any emergency that comes your way. But, you know, having a pet is having a furry toddler for life. They're not going to grow up and, you know, win the Nobel Peace Prize or go off to college or, you know, get out of your and create an empty nest for you, so to speak. You're going to be there with them for their lifetime taking care of them. So it's important that you're prepared for their every need. So I really encourage you to have the necessary supplies on hand and take it a step further. Don't just get a disaster kit or a pet first aid kit and keep it pristine. Go through it. Know what's in there and know how to use it and what you use each of the items for. Check it, pick a time, whether it's when you change the clocks back or at the first of the year, but make sure nothing has expired. If you use something up, replace it. And this also accounts for the food you're going to be putting in your emergency kit. You don't want to be feeding your pets expired food. So go through it, you know, at least once a year and make sure it's up to speed. Check those ID tags. They bang together on your pets, and sometimes you can no longer read them. And if somebody were to find your pet, you'd want to make sure they can clearly read that phone number so that they can get back in touch with you. And that reminds me to also mention microchips. Many animals have been reunited with their family simply because of their microchip. So once you adopt a pet, realize you have to do the paperwork, whether it's online, on the telephone, the old-fashioned way by a snail mail, but make sure that pet is registered to you. And if you change your cell phone number or you move, you need to update that information as well. So get yourself into a pet first aid class soon. Remember, mine are going to be available online this summer, but you can always check them out on my website, or I'm happy to refer you to other instructors throughout the country. And if you happen to be in the southern part of the U.S., I might just be in your hood this fall. I'm going to be taking a 10,000-mile journey to help people, help their pets. Yes, I will slip into my mask and cape as the Pet Safety Crusader and teach pet first aid classes at animal shelters, do pet disaster preparedness training at fire stations, do some children's book readings, because I have learned that what children share with their parents really sinks into our adult heads much better than if we hear it from another adult. And we want to help, and we want to set a great example for our kids. So I will be coming through at least Phoenix, Houston, New Orleans, Mobile, Alabama, Panama City, Florida, Orlando, Jupiter, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Winchester, Virginia, Baltimore, Maryland, La Plata, Maryland, Nashville, Atlanta, and Perry, Georgia, Camden, Arkansas, Dallas, Texas, and maybe there will be some other cities along the way that I hope to, you know, be able to stop and help people help their pets. If you're a business who would like to champion the cause, go ahead and email me at petsafetycrusader@gmail.com, visit my website, or check out my page at bbsradio.com/petsafetycrusader to get in touch and make a difference. There's always something we can do to help people help their pets. So I'm just going to say thanks so doggone much for allowing me to help you help your pet. I thank you for enduring this flu and this huskier and more nasally voice than normal. But I hope you garnered a lot of information from Susan of the Southern California Animal Response Team and from Kit DeRoche of the Florida Yorkie Rescue. Gosh, if any of you peeps are out there and own any property in that area, West Palm, I believe she said, or Palm City, you know, give them a call, check them out online, see if there's something you can do so that those senior Yorkies can live out their days in a home-like, loving environment full of the love that they have given to people those oh so many years. My pack and I have fingers and paws crossed that you and yours will stay safe, healthy, and happy this Memorial Day weekend, and I personally challenge you to do your best to be a superhero in the life of an animal. I'm looking forward to having you hear me and my guests next time. This is the Pet Safety Crusader signing off and wishing you a bow wow wonderful day. She wants to go for a ride in the car. Doesn't matter.